It's helpful for us as Christians from time to time to kind of dig into one, dig deeper into one specific book of the Bible. It may be that we have a tendency sometimes to kind of skip around to find the verses that really connect with us. But there's benefits to digging into one book of the Bible. It forces us to look at some of the more challenging themes in the Scripture. It lets us really discover what the Scripture is truly getting at. So that's what we're doing together starting today. We're going to be reading from the book of James for this month. And we only get to read a small portion of the Scripture together in worship, so I do encourage you to read through James on your own if you can. It's short. You could probably read it in about 20 minutes. So we're starting at the beginning of James chapter 1 today. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So the book of James is a letter to the church, like Paul's, the Apostle Paul's letters in the New Testament. But James is a little different from the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. Paul wrote to specific churches that were dealing with specific problems. And while there's always something that we can gain from reading Paul's letters, James, on the other hand, we think is more of a letter to the general or the wider church about issues that any person of faith may be dealing with. Martin Luther, the 15th century theologian, didn't like the book of James at all. He called it an epistle of straw. Straw. That was an insult in the 15th century. How'd you like to be called straw? And James is challenging, but it's really a letter. It's a letter instructing on moral behavior for all people of faith. So I think we are wise to listen. We've been focusing this year on the importance of being the kind of church and people who go out in mission and in service to others in this world. And the whole of the Bible generally encourages us to be people who go out to serve. You can't really get around that if you tried. And the book of James strongly reinforces this idea. In chapter 2 of James, it even says that faith without works is dead. James doesn't beat around the bush. Faith, if by itself, if it has no works, he says, is dead. I think we often think of faith as having a kind of belief in God, belief in the life that we've been given through Jesus. And that's a part of it. That's important. But it's clear throughout Scripture and in James that faith is more than belief. Faith is bigger than specific doctrines, right beliefs. Faith is something that leads us to action. I've often heard of the concept of faith discussed with this illustration about a chair. You may have heard it before. Faith isn't just like believing that a certain chair is there, the chair being God, the object of our faith. But rather, faith really requires finally making the commitment to go ahead and sit down in the chair. That's when you really get to know the chair, what the chair really does for us. This could be a helpful image for us to remember that faith is trusting and committing to the action of sitting in the chair, not just believing that the chair is there. Faith is belief and action. But we know that the life of faith is not really just like sitting in a chair. It's a little more challenging than that. The life of faith requires this kind of committed, faithful action from our lives again and again, whatever we face. It's not so easy. By faith, we become a Christian. And by faith, we have to continue to live as a Christian on throughout life. That's the hard part. Our scripture for today makes this all sound a little too easy. It says, "Brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Nothing but joy. Our trials, our challenges, we're supposed to consider joy. It's easier said than done. The associate pastor at my last church recently wrote about a friend of hers who happens to be in her 60s and is on a kind of spiritual pilgrimage. She's in the midst of walking, hiking, something called the Way of St. James, or the Camino de Santiago. The Way of St. James journey is supposed to end where the remains of St. James were thought to have been taken and buried long ago. It's a pilgrimage that was at one time as popular as the pilgrimage to Rome or to Jerusalem. The route of this hike goes all along the northern coast of Spain, over hilly and some mountainous terrain, and it's of course full of the beauty of this kind of coastal region. I can only imagine the beauty and the joy of finally reaching the end of this kind of journey. But first, to get to the end, the Way of St. James is a challenging 32-day-long hike, averaging about 15 miles a day to cover the 490 miles to the end. By day 10 of the hike, this 60-year-old woman had to get what is commonly called on the trail the Camino pedicure, which is really it's really just a nice way of saying that her feet had to be bandaged up from heel to toe because of all the blisters from her hiking boots. She said that one day she even had to run the whole last 2 miles of her day in pouring down rain in order to make it to her lodging for the night. It's beautiful terrain, amazing, amazing scenery. But much like with the life of faith, rain falls, feet blister, and the journey toward the end is a challenging process that can be painful. St. James says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, for the testing of your faith produces endurance." There's a story about a man who was asleep one night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man that he had a job, for him to do, and showed him this big rock in front of his cabin. And the Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. And so the man did, day after day. For many years, he pushed and pushed from sunup to sundown, pressing his shoulders against the cold, massive surface of a rock that wouldn't budge. He pushed with all his might. Each night, the man returned to his cabin, sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. After a while, he began to doubt. Finally, he took his troubled thoughts to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I've labored long and hard in your service, giving all the strength to do what you have asked. Yet after all this time, the rock has not moved at all. What's wrong? Why am I failing?" To this, the Lord responded compassionately, saying to the man, "You come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Have you really failed? Look at yourself. After many long years pushing against that stone, your arms are strong and muscled. Your back is brown from the sun. Your hands are calloused, and your legs are far more powerful than before. You haven't failed. Most of all, my friend, When long ago I asked you to serve me, you accepted. You pushed against the rock with all your strength, and for many long years you have done so faithfully. So now I will move the rock for you. Whenever you face trials of any kind, when it seems like you've been pushing wearily against a kind of rock that won't move, consider this nothing but joy. Though it's in these times that joy seems the furthest thing from our reach, in the end, it is what we find, joy. James goes on saying that blessed is anyone who endures trials and temptations. Blessed. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised those who love him. I think very often, any message that I have to share with you is also a message that I myself need to hear. It's much easier for any of us in this life to just kind of commit partway, to give ourselves half-heartedly, to live like faith is belief, but not so much action, to dip our toe in and out as the tide changes. But are we really committed to the life of faith then? If we are half-heartedly committed, are we living for ourselves or are we living for God? The life of faith is a lifelong journey, and we are called to over and over again commit ourselves to this journey of faith, this life of faith that is filled with both challenges and joys, trials and blessings all along the way. Every once in a while, I like to ask my daughter Ella some deep theological or spiritual question, just to see, you know, what an almost three-year-old might have to say. Just a couple days ago, I asked her this this question from the poet Mary Oliver. I said, Ella, what do you want to do with your one wild and precious life? It's a big, hard question. She responded without hesitation. She said, I want to do the sprinkler. It's not a bad answer, really. So we did the sprinkler, of course. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your one wild and precious life, as Mary Oliver puts it? What will we do with our one life of faith? I've heard it said that you or me, any of us, may be the only Bible that some people ever read. We may be the only gospel that some people ever hear. With our words, with our actions of faithful service in this world, with our wholehearted commitment to the life of faith, we tell a story. We tell a story with our lives. We tell a gospel story to the world that the world needs to hear. So let us, people of God, go forth in faith. Amen.